As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Adam and I am joined by my co-hosts Becca and Nicole.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, how is everyone doing today?
Fantastic.
Yeah, pretty good. All good things so far. How about you?
Good, good, yeah. Becca was out working her little butt off in the outdoors and her face has now toned down to a normal flesh color.
We're back to normal girl color.
Yeah. All right. Well, in today's episode, we are going to discuss that urge to possibly, what is the word I'm looking for?
The urge to splurge.
That sounds so dirty. Oh, basically, we want to talk about the journey maybe we've all had, and also a lot of other people that have been public about that, about overbuying or overconsuming plants when you first fall in love with them, and kind of the journey that that leads you on. So that's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode later on after our catch-ups.
Our 30-minute catch-up.
Yes. How to recognize it, how to make changes, and how to not make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yes, 100%. Okay, well, who wants to catch us up on what they've been doing this past week first?
Nose goes.
Oh, Nicole, it's up to you.
All right.
You're on stage.
I'm on stage. Give me the mic. Okay, well, this week, I actually took off the next 2 weeks from work because it's me and Jay's 9-year wedding anniversary this coming Sunday, which by the time you're listening to this, it would have already passed. It's July 17th. And we were originally going to go somewhere, like take like a little mini trip, but things are so expensive right now, you guys. I know I've talked about this before, but airfare is insane and gas prices haven't gone down much. So, you know, we just decided to hold off and to wait. So I have this time off of work and I've kind of just been doing like different things each day. I got really caught up with editing the past few days. I was helping my mom and Ted in the garden this morning. I filmed a video. Yay. Because I didn't film one last week. But she's taken out some bushes that are just not doing well. We have Japanese beetles and we've come to the conclusion
they're
that listen
back.
Yes, they're back. They're going to continue to come back because no matter what we do as a preventative measure, like laying Grubex so that they die off in their younger stages of life, if the neighbors aren't doing shit about it and they have Japanese beetles, they're just going to migrate and they're going to find our roses and they're going to mutilate them. So we're taking out a few bushes and she wants to like do something else over there, like maybe do like some potted plants or like maybe turn it into like a little nook, like a little reading nook. I want to get like an egg chair. Oh, the egg chairs, the swinging egg chairs. Dream.
Amazing.
They're so expensive though.
Oh, yeah. Like why?
Why?
They are.
Because it's in the shape of an egg? I don't know. But
I have to say your backyard has always been like a little oasis. Even when you guys first moved in, I was like, this is so cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time you post about it on Instagram, I'm just like, honestly, goals.
It's
like,
a vibe.
I just want to touch the grass with my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great yard. It's a great yard. You know, even with that child jungle gym in the center of it, it's still definitely a vibe. And you guys
both. You know
what
I'm tired of? I'm really tired of you posting shit that's just sponsored posts all the time. I'm sick of it.
Listen, we'll leave a link to my jungle gym in the notes of this podcast.
This is an inside joke that I'm not in on. I'm like standing here smiling like, what?
I posted about something. I can't remember what I posted
Tiki
about.
Torches.
Tiki
Those
torches.
LED tiki torches, which Those I have LED... the same ones, and I absolutely love them.
Yeah, the LED tiki torches in my backyard. If you don't know about them, listen, DM me and I'll send you an affiliate link. But I was talking about them one day and someone literally DM'd me and was like, why do you all you ever do is talk about sponsored posts or sponsored product or something? It must be nice that people send you all this stuff. And I was like, no one fucking sent me these tiki torches.
Oh my gosh.
I bought them. Yeah. So I was aggravated. But Adam picked up on that story and we had a little conversation about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So hashtag not sponsored. My yard is a total vibe and I love it. But like it's a lot of maintenance. Like you guys have spent the night week at my house before. So like you guys saw all of like the bushes in it and like the grass upkeep. We have landscapers that come, but like some of the trimming and pruning of all these things, like my mom just can't do it all herself. And like I work and I try to help and it's just a lot of weeds. Anyway, long story short, we're trying to like minimize the work that we have to do back there. And some of the plants just weren't growing that great or we didn't find them like aesthetically pleasing. So we're getting rid of a few of them. Wow. Sorry.
Hey, stop it. Go to bed.
Oh, at first I was like, is Leo sick? Because his voice sounds really deep.
No. My dogs are down here. Hey, cut it out. Sorry, I was trying not to yell. Yeah, so that's what we did this morning. So like my cheeks were very rosy too because we were literally pulling bushes out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And it was like full sun. And I was like, I cannot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's pretty much what I've been doing. Like I've just been kind of doing something different every day. Last night was probably the highlight of my week so far because Jay and I went to dinner. And we don't often go out to dinner.
And you look so cute.
I dressed up. I bought a dress. I was such a cute little girly girly last night.
Wait, did I miss that post?
You did.
I didn't show my like whole dress, but it was just a selfie we took outside of the restaurant as Adam's searching my Instagram.
I'm going through your stories. Right. Oh, you know what it is you tagged me in something after that and it automatically like doesn't let me. It says that like I haven't viewed things past the tag.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay, continue. You
That's
did
okay.
look cute.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Thank you. Yeah, so we went to Fogo de Chão. I'm probably saying that wrong. I always called it Fogo de Chão, but that's not what it's called. It's a Brazilian steakhouse. And I ate so much. So much.
Did you get the meat sweats?
I probably. Gross. That is so gross. After we were done eating, he's like, you want to see a dessert menu, don't you? And I was like, are you fucking judging me? Because yes, I do. So he got like cheesecake and I got ice cream. $8 for 2 scoops of vanilla ice cream. And it was like the best ice cream I've ever had.
<It's> worth it.
Worth it. Worth it. But man, you guys, things are so expensive. When I got that bill, I was just like, holy shit, we didn't have not one drink. We drank ice water the whole damn night. And it was still over $200. And I almost shit my pants. Like I knew it was going to be that.
Yeah,
but
it's
I'm
a
just
special
like,
occasion.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, why is stuff is so fucking expensive? Anyways, cheaper than a vacation. So we're saving our money to hopefully go to Spain next year. I really want to go to Spain. Yeah.
Yes.
For our 10-year. I'm saying this out loud. so I can hold myself accountable to plan that trip, because I need to plan that trip. So yeah, we just decided to save this year and just put it away for next year. So
yeah.
So yeah, so that's pretty much it. I think next week maybe we'll just do like some little stuff, like, I don't know. Oh, I do have one more story I need to talk about, because I talked about this in my stories. So I went on a bike ride a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I need to hear the story here, because I saw your post and same. I was like, what happened?
I actually was like, I'm not going to ask her about it because I know she's going to talk about it on the pod. Like, we'll get the story.
We'll get the story. This is old news by now, but a few days ago from recording this episode, I went on a bike ride with Jay, and it was like this spontaneous late night bike ride. And we have really pretty trails by our house.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. People falling off things makes me laugh, and I'm just like picturing it. So.
Oh, I'm it's hilarious in my head. Like, I would have loved to have been somebody else watching that happen, because it had to have been the funniest shit ever. But anyway, so we're riding on this trail, and our trails around our house are really pretty, and they're very easy to ride. Like, not really a lot of uphill, not very bumpy. So we're riding the bike, and my back brake on my bike, it's actually my mom's bike, it doesn't work that well. Like, it needs to be fixed. So like, when you're riding pretty quickly or you pick up speed going downhill, you're supposed to kind of pump your back brake. You don't want to pump your front brake, because for people that don't know about riding bikes, if the front brake works really well, which it does, you're going to go flying over the bike if you stop too fast.
Oh no.
Anyway, we're coming around like a curve, and it's pretty open space, and we see like an older lady walking. She's like power walking. She's got her AirPods doing her thing. And then we see like a flock of geese like off to the side. Oh, no. And like, geese are aggressive in general. Very. So like, you have to be careful. And they're like, mm-hmm. some are on the road where the bikes are, like where the path is, I mean. And then some are like over by this pond of like water. And we're coming around, and Jay's in front of me, and he turns around, and he's just like, hey, slow down, because I'm going to go slow around these geese. I don't know why in my head that meant speed up, but like, I didn't realize it was a little bit of a decline going around the hill, and I didn't pump the brake like I should have. And before I realized it, I was too close to his back tire, and I was envisioning this lady and me hitting this lady. I was envisioning the geese attacking me, and I was envisioning like hitting Jay and him going flying off the bike. So what do? I just slam on my front brake, and I go flying over the handlebars.
Oh, no. What?
But it happened in slow motion, because I wasn't going super fast. I like went
tuck and roll, granny.
I slammed on the brakes, and I like was like, no, like it happened in slow motion in my head. And I went over the bars and like off to the left side. I fell right in front of this lady. She was maybe 10 feet in front of me, and she's just stops, and like I'm on the ground at this point, and I'm just like, please don't let anything be broken, like, because I could feel the heat of the pavement, because I scraped my arm, I scraped my leg. Oh. And I was just like, just please don't let anything be broken. And we were already 40 minutes from the house at this point. So I was like, if this bike is broken, I'm going to have to swallow my pride and like call Ted to come pick us up, because I can't walk back this whole trail, you know?
Yeah.
And the lady just, I get up and I'm like, look at the lady, and Jay's like 20 feet ahead, and he's looking like, what the fuck happened just now? And the lady just passes me, and she's like, I'm sorry. And she just keeps walking. Like, she doesn't ask me if I need any help. She doesn't ask me if I'm okay. She's just like, I'm sorry. And she just keeps walking. And I'm like, yeah, you're saying that because like, I just killed my pride in front of you right now. Like, I just, grown ass woman fell off of a bike.
That is the most city interaction ever. Like, city suburbs.
Yeah.
Just let it happen and move on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, get up, girl. You're good. You know, it's probably what she was thinking.
Yeah.
But Jay felt bad too because he's like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "I'm fine. I just don't know about the bike. Like, nothing's broken. I'm walking, so we're good." You know.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to fall as an adult, and this is what I was talking about on my Instagram page, because like, falling as a grown ass adult not only makes you feel like a child, for one, like, there was nobody else on that trail the whole time we were riding. Like, why did there have to be a person there at that moment, you know? So it's so embarrassing. And then it's like, you hurt yourself. Like, I woke up the next day feeling like I got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You Oof. Know, and like, you forget how to fall. You forget how to fall as an adult. Like, my niece was over on the 4th of July and she was racing with Jay and her feet got up under her and she hit the pavement and she scraped her knees, her elbows, her hands, all cut up. And she's she cries for 2 seconds and then she's like, "Yeah, it's really bad, Mom." And I'm like, "Oh my God, this girl is mangled." And she's like, doesn't even care, you know? But like this, like, I have like a bruise. I have a bruise on my arm. See that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a like dark one.
That's like the handlebar. Yeah. Anyway, I'm fine. It could have been a lot worse. I didn't break anything. I didn't sprain anything, and I made it back home, and the bike is fine. So
there you go.
It was just all you can ask for. It was traumatic.
Go get that back brake fixed.
Yeah, I know. I have to before we go out again for sure.
I love that you guys, I mean, besides falling, I love that you guys were out doing that together. That's really sweet that you guys like spend time together doing that. Like, I don't know. I like that.
Yeah. He's a very like kind of he likes being active. Like, he's looking into getting some rollerblades and I'm just very lazy. Like, I used to rollerblade. And I like going on walks, but I don't want to go too far because if I go too far and I like overexert myself, like, I don't like that. Like, that's not fun for me. That's exercise. Yeah. And I don't like exercising, but I like riding a bike. Like, I love riding a bike.
Yeah. Riding bikes it's like low impact and fun and easy.
Yeah. And like, the amount of plants we saw on that trail, like, the next time we go out, I'm gonna be like, "Sorry, babe, but we're gonna have to make multiple stops because I want to take pictures of everything." Like, I saw ferns growing off like out of this river stream. It was so pretty. I want to take like pictures of everything. But
yeah
it was fun. It was fun till I fell, then I get over it. And then of course I buy this dress and trying to look cute and I have a big ass bruise on my knee, my arms. I look like, you know, I got beat up, but all good. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's tough.
I'm tough.
Look like a tough
Anyway, that was a very long update for me. Wow. I was talking for a long time.
No.
I enjoyed every second.
Me too.
So how about you guys? Who wants to go next? How's your weeks doing?
I haven't really been doing much this week, but I did, although it's going to be old news now, but I did film a video and edit it and release it. And I actually filmed it twice because the first time I filmed it, I went back and watched the footage and I was annoyed with how much I used my hands and also how many times I said, "This plant's growing really well." Like, literally every single one of them. You know, sometimes I really struggle with adjectives when I am filming a collection type video and I'm just like, say the same thing over and over, and I'm just like,
that's easy to do though. That's so easy to do because they're all growing well, so you want to say that, you know.
Yeah,
they're growing well. I've been saying anyway, like, in my videos, like, I'll fixate on a phrase, so lately it's anyway and then "all this to say." I had to edit, I said it at least 20 times in a video that I edited yesterday. And I'm like, "Becky, say it once."
Say it once. Yeah, I fixate on phrases too. Maybe this is our neurodivergent brains, because I said multiple times, "Time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell." And I'm like, why the hell am I saying that? Like, I literally never use that phrase.
Yeah.
And it was because I was like, you know, I want to see what these leaves look like when it gets mature. Time will tell. I want to see these blooms look like. Time will tell. And I'm just like, God, they hate me.
Just fixated. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find us doing that when you edit the podcast? Do you ever have to edit?
No.
Really?
No. I just take out dead spaces and sometimes, you know, our off-the-record conversations.
Yeah, yeah. knock those but to the Patreon.
I do get really annoyed with myself and how many times I say like when I like, and now I'm going to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't notice it with either of you two, just myself. And I'm just like, But
I feel you on that. Ugh, yeah.
But yeah, outside of...
Great video. Sorry,
it was a great video. You. Very informative.
I do love my lachinosas.
I found out I have a lachinosa snow caps.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that.
Has yours bloomed yet?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, well, you suck at life.
I know. All the time.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. other than that, I haven't really been doing much. I went and bought some copious amounts of Little Debbie ice cream because I just found out about it.
I saw that.
Have you guys?
Like, I didn't know about this.
All of the Little Debbie snacks like have an ice cream. I haven't tried them yet, but like Nutty Bars, Star Crunch, Oatmeal Cream Pie. Yeah.
Where did you get those? What store?
Walmart. They were at Walmart. Yeah.
Okay. I shouldn't have asked that because I have a Walmart right down the block. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. but yeah, pretty chill here. We did have a very big dust storm and then a thunderstorm last night. And honestly, like my little heart was so happy because I was just like, it poured. And just like hearing the rain again and seeing lightning. And
that's so fun.
In the Midwest, I was terrified of storms because of tornadoes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I absolutely hated them. But here, I know there's not going to be tornadoes, so I can, like, appreciate them for, like, their beauty and grandeur, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were in the tornado belt when you were down here.
Yeah.
You were down there. That open land.
Oof.
That open
that
land.
That wide open land. God's so, yeah. belt.
that's been my week. Becca, let's hear how your week's been.
Ooh. Okay, so I have 4 children this week. And it's let me explain what that means.
You look great for having 4 kids.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
I got to get you some gifts.
Absolutely glowing.
Yeah, thanks. They're 12 through 13, so so Daniel's nephews, I guess my nephews as well, they're here in town for the week, and they're just like, you know, kids, they just need things to do during the summer, so they're kind of being passed around to like different family members, and they're with us this week, and it's been fun. Like, it's fun having like kid energy in a room. Like, I just so miss kid energy. Like, that was like the best part of being a teacher, was just like the funny things they said and like their little personalities, and like they're all in the age range that I really like 12 to 14-ish. I just think that's such a fun age. So anyway, yeah, we're just hanging out. We're doing house chores. We're like trimming up the trees. And you guys know our sewer lagoon?
Yes.
The poo lagoon.
The poo lagoon.
The poo lagoon.
If anybody's just tuning in, Missouri does this thing usually, like if you have like property where your sewer system just goes out to like a pond, like a small pond, like for like far away from your house. And so it just, I guess, naturally composts back into the earth. I don't really know how it works. Anyway, so Missouri, everything grows here, specifically where I live. Like, it is like the optimal environment for like everything to grow. And so when we bought the house, it was like overgrown. There was like a forest around this thing. And
it's heavily fertilized.
Yes. Yes. And to be to code, actually, yeah, that is probably why things grow so fast around it. But to be to code things.
Luscious.
Yeah. And it's stinky. but yeah, like to be to code, it has to be cleared like, I don't know, 10, 12 feet, like perimeter around the lagoon. And it was not that. There was trees that looked like they had been there for like 10 years around this lagoon when we moved in.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, they had to clear it out before we could buy the house for our lender to approve of it. But now it's just like a lot of brush growing up around it. And there were some trees just from like 2 years. There was like some elm trees that were like taller than me. And I'm like, this is insane. So Anyway, we were out there doing that. That's like one of the big things we did. And we're working on the greenhouse, like cutting wood. And I think we're going to be able to like finish the roof finally. And nice. Like put on the siding. Like, I don't know. I'm over the greenhouse. Like, there's just nothing exciting really happening. Like, I feel like it's taking so long that it's no longer exciting to me or anybody else that follows me. Like, you know,
well, like, here's my thing. I feel like now's the time you're working on the greenhouse.
Yeah.
But when spring comes, it's going to be like time to fill the greenhouse, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that's when you're going to get the most enjoyment out of it, because mm-hmm. you have to give yourself grace, because it's only you guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a lot of work. Like, you had a little bit of help in the beginning, but
yeah.
it's so much work. And Daniel works full time, you know? So really, yeah. it's like you, you yeah. know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's been quite the process. I don't know. I feel like I don't understand. It kind of upsets me when people get things done like really, really fast, because I'm like, that's not realistic. You know, yeah. like I get it. Like, people probably are able to do it like full time. And so that's why it gets done so fast. But then you have like average people like myself who are like, oh, I'm going to build a greenhouse in a month or in like a weekend, 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be done in like 2 weekends. Yeah. And that's just not real at all. Like, especially when you're making content about it. Like, there's this couple that I follow on TikTok and they are amazing. Like, I don't know how they get the amount of shit they do done. Like, in the last year I've been following them, they built an entire garden like mine. They built a greenhouse. They built a tiny house in the woods. Wow. Like, it's a tree house. They redid their pool. They redid their deck. That's like 5 big projects. That mm-hmm. like people do one of those a year, and they've done all yeah. of them in 1 year. I'm like, this is insane. These people are wild, but it's their full-time thing and they're both doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't have that kind of stamina to do that all day. And like, literally, this is like a zero hate towards them. It's admiration, really, if anything, because I'm like, yeah. so like, how do people do stuff like that? Anyway, so yeah, with the kids here, it's nice just to have more hands to do like stuff that takes forever and like isn't that fun, like pulling weeds and clearing mm-hmm. brush and stuff like that. Like, the garden was full of weeds and it has taken me like all summer to get to the point where I was, and there was still so many, and we spent 45 minutes out there and it's pristine, not a single weed.
Wow. Look
yay.
At that.
That 45 feels good, minutes. I bet.
Yeah, I was saying, like, I understand why farmers have like 9 kids, because that's a lot of hands.
9 kids, no TV.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I get it. I truly get it. But anyway, so it's been fun just having them around and like getting stuff done. And last night we played a board game. Like, we've been playing lots of board games, and just, I don't know, it's just something different to like break up life right now.
Yeah.
I think that's really cute that, like, you have family that with kids that are like going to other families' houses, like that your families are that big that you could do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I never did that as a kid. And I think that brings a lot of value to kids that age too, because they can kind of see different family dynamics and they yeah. can learn a lot from staying with multiple families, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I think it's great. I definitely want to do that with my kids. Like, mm-hmm. have them go stay with people. I stayed with my grandparents for like a week or two every summer, and it was like my favorite week every year. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so much fun just to hang out with them, and like, it's like a little vacation kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to just hang out and like live life the way they do. I don't know. I agree. It's really good. I think it's good for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they learned some fun skills. But that's basically been my week. I don't really have anything else to update on besides that. Like, I've just been editing and videos and just regular work yeah. on top of all of that. But yeah,
are the kids like super impressed that you're a YouTuber? Because I find like kids that age, like, I think it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are like, okay, kids this age, like, they low-key don't want you to think, they don't want you to know what they yeah. think is cool, kind of. So like,
yeah,
actually it's interesting, because to them, the fact that I'm a YouTuber, it doesn't seem like a big deal, because this is like a normal career for someone
yeah.
at this point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at their age, this career has
existed throughout their entire life. So it's not right. like a weird, like, oh, like, how is that possible that you actually make money off of that? Like, mm-hmm. like, they don't even, I mean, also they're kids, so they're not really thinking about that. But, like, I'm trying to understand, like one of them was like, oh, yeah, you're almost to 100,000, so, like, you'll get your bronze play button. And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I didn't even know what color it would be. Like, it's just interesting. Like, to them, it's just, like, another job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're necessarily impressed. I just think they're like, yeah, it's her job. I don't know. It's weird. Mm-hmm.
It is. That is strange, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like my parents are more impressed than my kids are impressed.
Yeah.
You know, because they're like, you could make money off of that, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, it's not just that. It's a lot of work for one, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think it took us moving in together for them to realize, like, everything that goes into a video and the yeah. time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially for sponsorship.
Yeah, the time. Yeah, I don't have very many sponsors this month, so I'm a little stressed out financially because that is my main source of income. I'm like, oh, great. What else can I do to, like, make up for that? So, you know, just
do you find it slower? Like, not to get off topic, but do you find it slower now? Because I feel like I had a lot of people reaching out at the beginning of the year, but like once summer hit, it kind of died down. And then I had that sponsor back out of the contract that I told you about not that long ago. Is that how it's kind of been for you?
I've had maybe like three sponsors back out late, like in the last couple months. And I think it really is because of like the economy right now. Like they're having to allocate their money for, you know, like probably the payroll or whatever, like they're needing to like prioritize money internally first because marketing is usually the first budget to get cut, you know, because it's like not as important as paying people, their employees.
Right.
So I have had probably three back out, which like really stinks, but I obviously I get it, which is, it just sucks. But I think it has a lot to do with the current economy. And also there's no like holiday where people are buying things in the summer.
True.
You know, like the holidays, like any like October through March, I feel like are pretty,
pretty big
busy for people buying stuff, but in the middle I don't know, maybe people are just like chilling out.
Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah,
vacationing, like they're unless you're a travel vlogger, then you're probably getting a lot.
Yeah I think it comes in waves for sure, and like some months I have like 8 sponsors and this month I have 3 and I'm like, can we do anything else, like but yeah, I mean, I'd rather, like, I had one come to me that I just wasn't really into, and I said no, like, even though it's money, like, I'm still not going to take it just because it's money. Like, I still want to hold, like, in my integrity. Speaking about, like, sponsored things earlier with you, Nicole, like, I don't know. If I'm going to put my name on something, I want it to be something that I would actually use or at least be interested in. So, I don't know.
And, like, you come to a point where you're reaching such a huge audience that you want to make sure that you're not sending people in the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of business update, personal update.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Well, let's dive into our topic, this overconsumption.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like it's a sentiment we hear from a lot of people, and even just people that I follow on Instagram. Like I see story posts about them just being really stressed with their collection. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people, you know, a lot of people came into plants in the pandemic when we were all home and we were all like looking for an escape. And now some of us have to go back to how our lives were before, where we're not home 24/7. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then this hobby, this something that brought joy, can also spiral you into like anxiety, depression, or shame, I guess. Because I felt shame about killing a plant before. Have you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, especially if I've talked about it online.
Yeah.
And people will remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're like, where does this plant? It's like, please just stop. Like, don't.
Don't ask that question.
So when you've both started collecting plants, did you feel this urge to like, I don't know if I would even call overconsume, but that's definitely what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in my mind at that time, I was just like, oh, I just want to try all these different plants. I just love plants. I love plants. Like, did you guys both do the same exact thing?
Yeah. I feel like I was watching a lot of YouTube. I had my favorite YouTubers, YouTube being two of them. And like, I saw other people's collections, and not that like I was influenced to buy that plant, but I guess that's what it would be. Like, I didn't go out and buy that plant just because somebody else had it. But like, I wanted to test out like my skill with the plant, or like to see if I could keep it alive. But I feel like every time I went to a store, like searching for a specific plant, I would end up purchasing so many other plants. So like every time I was shopping, I was coming home with like at least 5 houseplants, and it just, things accumulate so fast that way. And when you're buying more houseplants, you're purchasing more supplies. Obviously, you're purchasing pots to go with those plants to repot, and it just becomes a huge expense. So I think that that's like where the overconsuming started for me, and just being curious, mainly like if I can grow these plants in my conditions in my home.
Yeah, I think it was the same for me, more or less. Like, I would see plants that I saw online in person, and I'd be so excited that I found it. Like, for me, it was like the thrill of the chase. And so, you know, that chase would be punctuated with coming home with the plant to like, I found it. Like, it, for me, it felt like a treasure hunt, kind of. So I really loved doing that, especially because Tucson didn't have a great plant selection when I first started. It was like really not it. So yeah, there was definitely a long phase where I was just like consuming plants without really much thought about how they were going to work long term. And not really thinking about the fact that these plants are going to grow and get bigger and like not be small enough to fit on my windowsill anymore. That was a big thing for me, because like I had only a few places where I could put plants because I had lived with other people besides like a partner. And, you know, after a while, all those spots got filled up, and I just, I don't know, wanted to create new spots, like make it work, like shoved as many as I could in that spot. And it just made for a very cluttered environment in my head and in my space. And I'm not a person who likes clutter. And I started noticing I was doing that with my plants, like kind of abandoning myself in a way. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little dramatic, but kind of abandoning my typical desires for my spaces just so that I could have more plants.
Yeah. And I think like adding on the fact that we all fell in love with plants, but then we started YouTube channels, and we all started around the same time, and we all liked plants before the YouTube channels, but then it was like, when you have to create content on top of it, like I feel like that added another layer of just like unboxings do really well, so you ordered plants, or you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point, because like with ordering plants online too, and not just going to like a brick and mortar store, you don't want to just purchase one plant online and then pay for the shipping and the taxes. Like, you're like, oh, let me just add a few more plants to my cart to make it like the shipping justifiable, you know?
Right. Right.
And that adds up too, especially if you're ordering from overseas, like that, you know, you want to put as many in your cart as possible because of that phytosanitary certificate you're purchasing, and then the shipping cost.
You know, and that is a really good point, Becca, that you said about like not expecting things to grow, because I would say when I kind of shifted my collection to Hoya, I was buying a lot of cuttings, and mostly all of my Hoya started out as two leaf cuttings.
Mm-hmm.
Two or four leaf cuttings. Like nothing was bigger than that. They were solely just like very small plants. And I'm happy that they've all grown. But the transition of being like, okay, I have them all in these areas. And then as they're getting bigger and bigger, like I was mm-hmm. like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, where am mm-hmm. I going to put these?
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel like when you're in the thick of it, you don't think about. Like you don't think about, well, maybe like in 6 months down the road, this is going to be a bigger plant. Because I see people, and it's no shame to them, but I see people mm-hmm. that have these IKEA greenhouse cabinets and they just fill them with Hoya. But they're mm-hmm. all small because that's how yeah. Hoya are, but they're going to grow.
They're going to really grow fast. Out of that greenhouse cabinet. Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
in that environment.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other things you guys think kind of facilitate that over consumption? You know, because like me personally, I love buying new gadgets like tech gear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like chemical dopamine releases when you like do something like that.
Yeah.
And I definitely got that with plants. Did you guys mm-hmm. feel that way too?
I think there's an episode of Bloom and Grow Radio about, it's like, it's called Your Brain on Plants or something like that. Like when we buy plants, I'm trying to brighten my phone, but it's like keeps opening up my notifications. Okay. It's like Your Brain on Plants or something. And Maria interviewed a doctor, and it's like an addiction. Like it really is. It becomes an addiction to purchase things. Mm-hmm. And I said a few days ago, or I said yesterday on my stories, that I think that shopping addictions get masked a lot by buying houseplants. Like people might not, I don't know, like that shopping addiction might not come out in other parts of their life, or maybe it has, but it was always like quote unquote unhealthy things. So it was easier to recognize. But then when mm-hmm. it's a plant, it's like harder to detect because it's like a quote unquote good thing. Like these things yeah. make our home feel better. Mm-hmm. It's like buying a lot of vitamins. It's like, well, vitamins are good for me. Like I should be taking these, but
900 a day.
How's yeah. your poop? Like,
what color is it? That is the thing, though, because, you know, you're right. The houseplants are something that you can care for. It's not just like, it's not like a shopping addiction where you're just buying like designer handbags that you just have like hordes of them mm-hmm. sitting. Mm-hmm. But like plants are viewed differently because, yeah, they're sitting, but you're actively doing something with it.
Yeah.
And they're growing, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's all in the same. It's like all in the same, you know, yeah. spectrum.
Yeah. And it's like admirable to keep a plant alive. So people will like praise you for it. You know, yeah.
It is definitely kind of like a catch 22 to look at it and be like, you look at 100 plants on shelves and be like, oh my gosh, your collection is so beautiful. But then also like look at that and be like, you're a hoarder, like you're hoarding plants, you know?
No, really. Yeah.
And it's kind of self-reflection a little bit, you know, because I mean, there was a time where I had almost 200 houseplants, and I know a lot of us have mm-hmm. hundreds of houseplants, and we keep them beautiful. Like our collections are beautiful, but yeah, I don't know. It's a fine line, you know, but like you said, Adam, like we are caring for them. Like we're propagating them. We're watering them. We're changing the soil. We're cleaning our shelves. Hopefully clean your mm-hmm. leaves, people. but then like...
Hashtag my clean leaves.
On brand.
Selfless plug. But then like, you know, I think that the biggest thing for me when I realize maybe I need to start being content with the plants that I have and almost, you know, to the point of downsizing a little bit, was when I realized the expense of the upkeep of having all those plants. I think when you first yeah. get into collecting, quote unquote, or, you know, over consuming and all these plants bring you joy, you hit a wall where you're like, okay, now I need to buy grow lights. Now I need to buy soil. Mm-hmm. Now I need to buy all these soil amendments, unless I'm using Daylight Tanks, which you should, because then you don't have to buy any amendments. you know, just like all of the things that you need to maintain your collection, you know, bigger pots once you need to up pot. And it's a lot. It's a lot to keep up with. And I think I went from over consuming to just kind of like for the past, I'd say since COVID probably, because we weren't really going out shopping during that time. Just kind of like learning to be content with my plants, and then even trading plants with other people, I think is, mm-hmm. is a healthier way to go about obtaining plants, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Becca, is there like some points in your collecting journey where you were like, noticed that you were like, I need to like slim down, or I need to get rid of some things?
I think it happens more often than I would think, than because it, like, I don't know, I've been able to recognize it quicker, so I notice it more often if I'm in a place where I have too many for my mental health at that moment, or just like the capacity of my home. Like, I have a place for every plant. I have special slots in my home, and I think this is really important, just to like help you not go to the plant store all the time and come home with something every time. But like, I have literally just like slots and like pockets in my home where I'll put plants. But if I notice that all of the slots are filled and they start ending up on the floor, that's how I know I have too many plants. Mm-hmm. And that happens maybe, and it's not even that I am buying plants all the time, but sometimes a plant will get propagated and then I have to pot it up. And then that's another plant in my collection, right? So that's going to mm-hmm. take up a slot. So that kind of stuff happens for me all the time, or I'll up pot a plant and it's in a bigger pot, so it can't go in that slot anymore. So it needs to go in this slot. And now I have a, you know what I mean? So that's how I look at my collection, is open spaces. And yeah, if plants end up on the floor more often than not, that's how I know. And I need to either rearrange or get rid of some. And sometimes I just end up throwing them away, or I don't know, but I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but sometimes when it comes to a point where like I'm done with the plant, it looks so bad that I would feel bad giving this to somebody else.
Yep. 100%.
To me, it's not worth it.
I don't
want to
pass off this burden.
Right. Yeah. So, and like, people will comment and be like, oh, I would totally buy that. But I'm like, should you though? Like, should you? Is this a responsible plant purchase? Like, you know, this plant is doing really bad. It's just going to, like, I don't know. Like, I should, because, for example, I have this plant. It's an Ace of Spades. Ace of Spade Anthurium might be, like, a middle grade Anthurium. They're not, like, a $10 plant. You know what I mean? But it's maybe, like, a $50 plant, for example. Mm-hmm. But I have one, and to me, it's worth, like, $5. Yeah. But, like, it was sent to me for a video, so, like, I didn't pay for it. But if I did pay for it, I would want to sell it for at least what I paid for it. And like in that case, why would I charge someone $50 for this plant that is doing terrible? So that's the dynamic that I have going on in my head. Like, if I'm trying to get rid of something, I'm like, why would I charge somebody that much if this plant is not worth that? But I paid that. Mm-hmm. So I want my money back. But at the same time, you know what I mean? Like, when a plant loses value, it depreciates.
True.
Because I don't think like plants are like cars. Like, they don't depreciate as soon as you bring them home. They should appreciate. In whatever.
Unless you were a pink princess in 2020, you depreciated.
Yeah. But that's a dilemma that I run into all the time, and that's why I end up holding on to plants for longer than I should. That I can think of at least three plants in my collection that are in that exact situation.
Yeah,
that's
sorry,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'm sure that we probably all have this, but I have a shelf in my bedroom that used to have like beautiful plants on it, and still does, but there are like three plants on there that are just full on dead. I have not even tried to take care of them. They are wilted AF, and they're still there. Like, I literally haven't done anything to them. They're just still sitting there dead, and I can see them just like dead as fuck. And I'm just like, whatever.
Every time you wake up.
Yeah, and I'm just like, maybe I should really just do something with that. I don't know. I don't know why my brain is like, It'll be fine. Just leave it there.
Oh, I've walked past a dying plant more times than I would like to admit, and yeah. I didn't do anything about it. I think it's a form of just like, I'll try to fix that later, or like, that's mm-hmm. a problem plant that's going to take a lot of my time, which I don't have right now, so I'll get to it later. And it just keeps getting pushed off mm-hmm. until eventually yeah. the problem becomes so big that throwing it away is the easiest solution, and then it's not any time of your day. You're just taking it and throwing it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, I liked how you said that you have a space for everything in your home, like for every plant, like every plant has a place. And mm-hmm. I read somewhere or watched a documentary, it's in the back of my brain, but like people that teach people about overspending on like, you know, consumerism, like stuff for your house or clothes, shopping addictions. Mm-hmm. Like every time you purchase a new clothing item, you should get rid of an old clothing item that's taking up space so that like yeah. everything has a space. So like now every time I go out and buy like new bras, underwear, socks, like I'm always getting rid of my old ones, regardless if they're still usable or not, because like I don't have space for anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really good habit, and it's a way of just kind of eliminating the amount you spend on things. So that's great that like you have a spot for everything.
Yeah. And you know, I saw somebody, Christine Work Hard Plant Hard, I don't know if she still posts on her Instagram, but she had a one in one out rule. So she'd bring in a mm-hmm. plant, she had to get rid of one, because she kept her collection at about 100. And for so long, I was like, that's ridiculous. Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever limit yourself like that? But now I get it, because it's like we have yeah. a yeah. personal capacity of how much we can take care of. And also, I think it's important with any online community to recognize that YouTubers and like quote unquote influencers in a space are like a caricature of what the average person is. Because think about it, like how many people watch our videos, but all of those people don't have like 400 plants. Well, not that we have 400 plants each, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I said in a video recently, like, I don't want anyone to feel pressure to have a collection like mine just because I do. This is like aspirational, right. And this is my full-time job. So
right.
I don't want anybody to see that and compare their collection and think that they need to get to this level in order to be like a validated plant person. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like home decorators. Like my home does not look like an Instagram decorator, but like I sometimes compare myself and I'm like, well, how come I can't do that? Or I don't have this new beautiful bedding every month, but that's not real.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. Yeah.
There's like two big moments that usually stick out for me as far as like when I was like, I need to downsize. And one isn't a specific moment in time, but every time pests show their ugly face.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, because I do hold on to plants for longer than I should, even if I just have zero care for them anymore, because there's quite a few plants that I'm just like, I don't really care about you, but I'm still taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if pests enter the picture, mm-hmm. yeet. I'm like not, like my brain yeet. Is like, get rid of it. And it doesn't mm-hmm. even like phase me. Yeah. So pest outbreaks were like a huge one for me. And then moving to Arizona for me personally, I think I said this on my Instagram story yesterday too, was just like a big eye opener, because I am not the type of plant parent that wants to fill humidifiers. And if you are, that's mm-hmm. fine. Like it's a good thing to do. I just never want to do it because
yeah.
I'm lazy. And that's how Hoyas kind of became the front runner for me, is because like they were the perfect plant for the amount of time and effort I was willing to spend on mm-hmm. plant care. And they're happy with me. Like they're just like, yeah, we'll take this and we're happy. But like the tropicals and all that stuff, because I had a myriad of different species of plants, so they did not appreciate that attitude.
Yeah.
But even though I killed a ton of plants through my time, like, and I still get overwhelmed right now. I'm sure we all do. Like when it's watering time or before I'm going on a trip and I need to water everything, I am kind of a wreck. Like I'm not mm-hmm. a nice person to be around because I'm stressed about the plants. But I forgot where I was going with that. But I feel a lot better now, like that I've gotten rid of things and I just have ones that I like. I mean, I still have ones that I don't really care about, but the ones that my plant parent skills align with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, too, that you make, like, how you said you got to a point where you found yourself knowing, like, the amount of time you want to spend on your plants. Mm-hmm. And that's what you based your collection around. I think that's a good thing to keep in your mind if you're a new plant collector and you're going plant shopping, whether it be online or in a store. Keep that in mind. Like, how much time do I actually have to give to these 10 plants that are in my shopping cart? You know, am I going to be able mm-hmm. to care for them when they're triple the size they are now? That's a really good thing just to keep in the back of your head, yeah. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think that that becomes an overwhelming thing. I think that, you know, you're watching people on YouTube and you're watching them care for their plants, and it just seems like this wholesome thing. And it is, like, it is therapeutic for most of us. That's why we all got houseplants to begin with. But then when you reach a certain amount of houseplants where you just don't have time for it, it can easily become overwhelming, anxiety, and it could send you in a spiral and do the opposite of what you wanted them to do in the first place. I think we've all been there.
Yes.
Yeah, especially if you deal with, like, anxiety and depression or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely have weeks where I don't want to take care of my plants. And if I had more needy plants, I wouldn't have them anymore. Like, they would be gone, because mm-hmm. I've tailored my collection to be one that doesn't need me every week. Like, I can go at least 2 weeks without watering them. They'll look really bad, but they're not going to die. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's a big reason why I won't get, like, Calathea or ferns or anything like that, because I don't care about watering my plants that often.
Okay, my bird's nest fern is thriving.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
And she has been quite neglected over the past couple of months, I will tell you. But so maybe reconsider getting a bird's nest fern.
It's pretty easy. Go for that one. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, I hear you. That's one of the main reasons I don't have those plants either.
Yeah.
Especially Calathea.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword, because a lot of us found houseplants to help with our mental health.
Yeah.
And then after all of this overconsumption and too many plants and clutter, the plants are kind of detrimental to our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to go by. But if you're a person who's, like, you know, not wanting to do plant care and you're feeling guilty, like, I just feel like I want to tell you that you should just have a little grace with yourself, mm-hmm. be nice to yourself, because maybe you got into a position where plant care seems very overwhelming, but that's not always going to be the case. Like, if you're not doing your chores, then some of them are going to die, but that's okay, because then the ones that didn't die are the ones that, like, are going to match with mm-hmm. your effort, and then you'll know where you stand, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, houseplants are different than collecting, like, state spoons. Like, you have to maintain it. You can't just put it on a shelf and be done with it. Like,
yeah,
it's different than other types of collecting, and it's active collection. So you have to be more thoughtful about what you're buying.
I think it might be a subconscious thing that I did, though, but I started, like, I watch very minimal YouTube these days, and a couple of plant channels that I do watch have, like, downsized their collection a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a mixture of plants and other things, you know, like your channel, Becca, and, like, just mm-hmm. a couple other ones. So I think, like, I don't know. I guess we've come to a point in our collecting over the past, what has it been, 3 years now? 4 years? Ish.
Four?
Four. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Time flies, guys. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Yeah, we're in season 5. Holy moly. Anyway, I think we've come to, like, a point in our houseplant collecting where we can, like, see what's realistic and what's not. And that's what I choose to watch on Instagram. That's what I choose to watch on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, I don't know, dialing it back a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think whose content you choose to consume is really important for how your collection is going to go too, because it's kind of like that thing that you tell kids, like, you're the sum of, like, your three closest friends or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like your habits are going to be just naturally similar to people that you watch, because it's hard not to just, I don't know. I mean, that's how I am. So when I was watching people on YouTube who were constantly unboxing plants, and we would never really see what happened afterwards, I was wanting to do that too. And as a creator, I understand the draw to making those, because as Adam said, those videos always perform super well. But it's just not realistic for the average person to be consuming that many plants. So focusing on creators who like are loving on their collection as it currently is, like doing plant chores, showing their collection and doing stuff like that, like not so much like making content about buying things. That really helped me personally to like shift my mindset out of that. Because I wasn't thinking about it as much anymore. I wasn't watching it. I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, I have a plan to do a video in the fall when I bring all my plants inside, because I have like maybe 20 cactus out there. And it'll just be like, where am I at? Like, where is my plant collection at after collecting for this many years? Because it's an eye opener, because I was talking to Adam before we started recording. Like, I didn't realize how small my collection has gotten. Like, I'm under 100 plants now. And that still sounds like a lot, but a lot of them are smaller plants, you know? Yeah. And I just think it's crazy that I've downsized that much, which is not a bad thing, you know?
Yeah. Under 100 is ideal, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it with like 300 plants. Like, I don't know how they do it. If that's not their full-time thing, like how... I don't understand. Yeah. Watering day must be hell. Like, not that you're watering every plant every single at the same time, but still.
I used to watch a lot of Summer Rain Oaks, and she's just, she's bae, you know, love her so much. Still do to this day. And her house was filled. I mean, over 500 plants.
Yeah.
But like her videos had a different feel to them. It was more like not a, you got to do this, you got to do that. This is what you, it was more of an informative channel. But also, you know, I remember a video of hers where she just said like, yeah, all these plants have mealybugs and you just got to embrace it. And it's just like, you're going to, when you have this many plants, you're going to have pests.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have outbreaks of certain things and you're going to have plants that die. And I don't know. It was just this vibe that was like, yeah, like if this is what you're going to do, like if you are going to be an avid collector and you are going to have this many plants, you have to embrace the bad that's going to come with it and not let it, you know, get, I don't know, the best of you, or not let it take up as much time as you think it should or whatever.
Yeah, I really like the one in, one out rule. If you're at a point where you're, you know, stressed or overwhelmed, but you still like have plants you want to buy, one in, one out. But yeah, let us know in the comments on today's post, like listeners, what you do when you're feeling overwhelmed, because I know this isn't just an isolated feeling, like even between us three, like this is, I feel like everyone has or is gone through this, going through this.
For sure.
And we're all here to help each other. So yeah, let us know in the comments, like some things that you do to like maintain your collection size, to not over consume, to I guess just maintain a healthy relationship with you and your plants in your life, you know? But let us know. You can find us on Instagram at Potted Together. And individually, we are, sorry, I feel like I just like went into the outro without even, like, we're just,
hey, we got a 5 minute warning here. I got a cutoff
time, so yeah. I'm just going. You can find us individually. Becca is Dayla Plants on Instagram. Nicole is My Clean Leaves, and I am Not Dude. So go check us out over there. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We also have a Patreon if you want to hear extra chatty episodes each month. You can do that over on Patreon. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.